The opinions expressed on the following sponsored program are strictly those of the host, guests, and callers, and not necessarily those of this station, its staff, management, or sponsors.
Standing Room Only presents Radio Showtime with producer, director, actress, and talent agent, Kathy Rollins. Listen here for the tops in entertainment talk. Get the lowdown on people in the biz, entertainment locally, film, music and TV in production, and advice for newcomers. How to get started. To take your part and be a star, call toll-free 1-888-565-1470. And now, let's take our mark, get ready, and action. Radio Showtime with Kathy Rollins.
Well, hello, hello, hello. Here we are again. Welcome to Radio Showtime. I'm Kathy Rollins, and I have a wonderful show lined up for you that I know you're going to enjoy. We're going to hear from Connor's Corner, and we're going to hear from Todd Vidim with Todd's tips on acting. And my two main guests are award-winning mystery writer Nancy J. Cohen, she's written so many books, and she's going to tell us about her career and also what people are always interested in about how to get published, how it was for her and how it is then and now. And my other guest later on is my favorite tenor, and his name is James Perkowski. Wait till you hear him sing. We have some wonderful excerpts from his CD, so we have a wonderful show lined up. And possibly we'll hear from Rob Askenaz or in New York, our actors. We call this our tracking the actors of the future. Rob Askenaz in New York City and Vincent Chiamato in California. But of course, if they're working on a shoot or something like that, they're not able to call. But if they are, we'll certainly chat with them. So I think we're going to start right now, because I believe Connor is on the line. This is Connor Griffin calling in, and he's got Connor's Corner, and he covers things that are going on that are of interest in the entertainment field, whether it be cooking or movie or video game or whatever, and for the younger set. So welcome, Connor. How are you?
Hey, how's it going?
It's going great. What do you have to tell us?
Well, you know how in the beginning of the month I told you guys I would do the movie review on Epic?
I remember. Yes.
I'm going to do it.
Well, you got the mic. Go ahead, do it. I'm all ears.
Epic is a great story. It starts out as a girl who's trying to forget and forgive about her father, who he thought wasted his career. Trying to find a small society of leaf men. Crazy, right?
It does sound crazy. Well, go ahead.
Yeah. Good job. It turns out he was right. There was a group of leaf men, highly advanced society, looking right under their noses. She gets shrunken down and has to help give a pod to a mystical place. Now, there are enemies trying to stop her.
Mm-hmm.
They're trying to defeat and kill the Force.
So this is like a sci-fi. This is a sci-fi film.
Yeah, it's kind of like a sci-fi
mm-hmm.
fantasy. And she gets pulled into this and later figures out she was all wrong about her dad. She was just misled, and she learns to forgive, forget.
Was it a surprising ending for you? Did you kind of anticipate what the ending was going to be like, or was it like a major surprise?
It was a big surprise to me how it ended.
Mm-hmm.
Because at first, I thought she was going to... I'm not going to spoil it.
No, don't spoil it. And it's Epic. The title is Epic, correct?
Yep. And that's all you have to know.
How long was the film? 2 hours? An hour 40? How long? Was it very long?
I believe it was a two-hour film, but all those 2 hours were worth it.
Super. So I guess you give it 4 stars, or what would you say? Highly recommended?
Highly recommended. Probably 4.5 stars. It was a great film.
Okay, well, there you got it. That's from Connor's Corner, and he recommends the film Epic to, I guess, anything from 10, 12 years old up to everything. Adults would enjoy this film, would you say?
I think they would.
Good. Okay. So what do you have to say? How do you close your show? How do you close your spot?
Well, this is Radio Showtime, Connor's Corner, and I'll see you next time.
You sure will. Thank you very much, Connor. That was a great job. Thank you.
Thank you, and see you next Tuesday.
You sure will. How about that? Epic. See that? You loved it to the end, just under 2 hours, and you loved every minute of it. Great. Now, we also have our regular Todd Vitam, and Todd Vitam is a very wonderful local actor. I've worked with Todd a long time, and very talented, and he's also a teacher, and worked in films and producing films, and his part in our show is called Todd's Tips, and it's generally on acting. So, Todd, are you on the line there?
Yes, ma'am.
How are you?
I'm great. Thank you for, again, having part of Radio Showtime. It's just really great that I can contribute Todd's Tips.
And you have a busy schedule because you're always traveling around. I know you're probably living out of a suitcase, right?
Yep. This week's Todd's Tip is to accept and build, and that's exactly plays into what you're just saying. You never know what's going to happen, and you have to accept it and build on it. Mm-hmm. I want to teach improvisation. That's one of the rules, is to accept and build, but it really is so much more than just with improvisation. Mm-hmm. It's with regular old acting. When you're on stage and something goes awry, you have to accept it. You can't change it. And then you have to build on it, or else you're going to look like an idiot out there.
It's like anything, working on the solution.
Like, say somebody comes out of the bathroom when you're in the middle of your scene.
Yeah. So it's like working on the work on the solution, not the problem. The problem's there.
Exactly.
Right. It's like in everything else.
I think J.P. Morgan said that, didn't he? Or was it Rockefeller?
I don't know, but I know it's sort of a lesson in life generally. Don't we, once you establish whatever the problem is, all right, boom, out of the way. How do we fix it? We know it's a problem.
Before Michael Jackson went totally nuts, he had a song called The Man in the Mirror. Same kind of a thing.
Yeah,
so you gotta start with you and identify the problem.
Now, listen, I want to ask you a question. In teaching improv, there are a lot of improv classes all around. Is this something that, would you say, people have to go, 10 courses, 5 courses, or any course is good, or is it something?
Any course is good, but you have to do it every so often. Let's just say you went through a course
with
a 13-week set thing. At the end of the 13 weeks, you're going to get rusty. It's a muscle, just like if you go to the gym and you do your biceps.
Mm-hmm.
You've got to get out there and you've got to work it.
Right.
So even if you can't do it every single, Thursday night or Saturday morning or whatever it might be, you still need to do it at least once a month or, something like that.
Because you really have to be on your toes. I mean, the mind has to be working rapidly. You have to be thinking. You don't know what the other person is going to do or say. I recently was asked to judge a show. It was part of a TV show. And each unit that got up in front of us to perform, they gave them a situation and then they took off. Well, there were 4 actors in each unit. And you could just see the 1 or 2 or 3 that were just, that mind was going and flashing, and the ones that were not in gear. It's very challenging and very intense. So I can't imagine you saying, well, I'll take 5 courses or 10 courses, then I got it. You don't got it. You have to keep keeping it keen.
Yeah. No, and it's just like with acting too. You can take as many courses as you want, and as we talked about this on the Radio Showtime as well with Doris Roberts.
Yes,
the height of her success on Everybody Loves Raymond. She still every Monday night was at her.
Isn't that wonderful?
Acting workshop.
Well, that's it. She loves what she does, and she's fine-tuning it. And they say you're getting very smart when you realize how little you know. Nobody knows everything.
Well, I know you're a great host of Radio.
Well,
Showtime,
I do.
I'm honored to be a part of it.
I'm never having a problem talking. My problem is talking too much.
Okay.
Thank you, Todd.
I'll
appreciate
it. Let you do that then, okay?
Thank you. I know you're busy.
The
Todd
tip for this week on Radio Showtime is to accept and build.
We got it. Thank you, and we'll see you next Tuesday.
Look forward to it. Thank you, ma'am.
Thank you, Todd Vitam, for us. Bye-bye. And Todd's Tips. All right, we are going to go to a little break, and then we're going to be back with my first guest, Nancy J. Cohen, award-winning mystery and romance novelist, after this message.
Three words. words define excellence in entertainment. Standing room only. Those same three words are your ticket to the finest and widest variety of entertainers for your next party or event. Founded and led by the amazing Kathy Rollins, Standing Room Only Productions is a licensed, bonded, and insured full-service entertainment company operating in South Florida since 1982. SRO's lineup of performers is unmatched and ranges from a DJ to an entire orchestra, from an MC to a full ensemble production, and includes specialties such as ventriloquists, magicians, belly dancers. If it's been on stage, SRO has it. They can even produce and direct your show using your group as the talent. Nothing tops a standing room only show. Call Kathy now at 954-791-7555. That's 954-791-7555. Or visit the website at KathySRO.com. That's Kathy with a C, KathySRO.com. Standing Room Only Productions.
Okay, we are back to Radio Showtime. I'm Kathy Rollins. If you would like to call and have a question for one of our guests today, feel free. It's 1-888-565-1470, 1-888-565-1470, or you can go online just to Kathy with a C, KathySRO.com, and on that first page, you'll see right in the center, Radio Showtime. Just click on there, and you can hear us all around the world, in Madrid, in Thailand, and, you know, Seattle, any place, and it's like a bell. My first guest is really a wonderful, wonderful and talented woman. Her name is Nancy J. Cohen. She is an award-winning author who writes romance and mysteries. Her humorous Bad Hair Day mystery series features hairdresser Marla Shore, who solves crimes with wit and style under the sultry Florida sun. To say that Nancy J. Cohen is award-winning is like an understatement. She is, she has received many, many awards. One, of course, is the Holt Medallion and Best Book in Romance, Sci-Fi, Fantasy at the Romance Reviews. She's an active in writing for her community and a featured speaker at libraries and conferences. Nancy is listed in Contemporary Authors, Poets and Writers, and Who's Who in U.S. Writers, Editors, and Poets. Nancy belongs to the Mystery Writers of America, Sisters in Crime, Romance Writers of America, and Novelists, Inc., and International Thriller Writers. Wow. Welcome to Radio Showtime, Nancy J. Cohen.
Thank you. I'm glad to be here.
Thank you for having the time to chat with us. And you have many, many books out there, and I'd like to make our listeners know a lot about your career, because you've been doing this for a while, and primarily you started out doing mystery writing, but now you are, it's romance and mystery, correct?
Actually, I started in the romance field. I wrote my first futuristic romance, got published in 1994, and that's the book that won the Holt Medallion Award.
Mm-hmm.
I wrote four science fiction romances for Dorchester. And at that point, my agent asked me, well, you're putting a mystery into your romances. Why don't you write a straight mystery?
Okay.
And I thought about it, and I thought it was a great idea. So I had to come up with the sleuth, you know.
Mm-hmm.
When you form a mystery series, you need a sleuth that engages with a lot of people, comes into contact with different people.
Mm-hmm.
You also want a series, hopefully, that hadn't been done before.
True.
Well, one day I was getting a perm, in fact, when we got perms, waiting for the timer to go off, and I looked at the other lady sitting in the salon staring into space. And I thought, we need something gripping to read to kill time. Let's kill off one of these ladies. That's how the series was born.
Wow.
Because you know how you confide in your hairdresser.
Yes.
You know how you hear gossip in a salon. So it's the perfect backdrop for a mystery series.
Now, listen, the first book was published in 1994. Was that the first book?
Well, that was my first romance.
Romance, okay.
Yes.
Before we get into all your books and how everything spirals, what did you do before you got into writing? What were you doing you know, just out of school?
I was a registered nurse. I have a master's in nursing, and I worked as a clinical nurse specialist down at Jackson Hospital in Miami.
Wow. Okay. So then this, but you must have been always, you know, thinking and creative thinking, and you must have been writing pretty amazing letters to your friends. I mean, with all this talent that was inside of you. So then if the first book was published in 1994, when did you start, like, you know, putting that book together? 1990, 1991? How long did it take to get that first book together?
That was actually my seventh book.
Ah.
Okay. I wrote six books before I sold one.
Okay,
it was
which
a
is
long road.
Very understandable. We talk about, you know, the rejections and the, you know,
mm-hmm.
getting it going. So, seven, that was your seventh book. So you just stuck at it, and was it, well, I guess it was difficult to get published. How did you get their attention that first time? What was it your books were getting better, your writing was getting better, and of course you were learning how to get published too with all those other books that you were trying. What did it that eighth time?
What really made a big difference for me, and I cannot suggest this more strongly to aspiring authors, was joining professional writing organizations.
Yeah, support.
So I joined Florida Romance Writers. Mm-hmm. I attended my first writing conference where I got an agent. I got into a critique group, and that made all the difference.
Okay, and by the way, all of your books are available on Amazon.com.
Yes.
You do have a certain series, the sci-fi, which we'll talk about, which are Warrior Prince and Warrior Rogue, and those are can be acquired by also Amazon.com, but also thewildrosepress.com as well, correct?
Yes, that's correct.
Right, so now you started with the romance, then you segued over to the murder. And then you kind of stuck with the murder for a while, and now you're getting back with bringing in the murder and the romance.
Yeah, I'm kind of alternating between the two series at this point, and I find that very refreshing.
Mm-hmm.
It doesn't allow you to get stale with any one type of story.
Right.
Each one fills a different need within me.
Now, do you write one book at a time, or do you sort of have three things going and you sort of, like, I call it braiding. You do a little on this one and then you go to that one. Or is it one at a time, or you do multiple books
it's
at
one,
a time?
One at a time.
And what about this writer's block? You hear about people saying, I can't, my mind is a blank. Nothing's coming out. Does this happen to you or no?
No, because I thoroughly plan my books ahead of time. I write a synopsis before I actually start writing the story, so I know exactly where it's going. May not know how it's getting there, and that's where the story magic comes in.
So you have like a plot or a plan or a strategy, a framework. Is this something you knew within yourself, or is this stuff that you picked up joining like Writers of America and things like
that? Yeah, I learned it. I mean, you learn so much from other authors. That's why it's critically important for anyone who has a desire to write to get involved with other writers.
Mm-hmm.
I used to do a plotting board where I would block out my chapters on a poster size board and mm-hmm. fill in the plot points. Mm-hmm. So that's how I learned the structure. Also learned structure by outlining other books that were similar in genre to mine.
Mm-hmm.
So it's an ongoing learning process that never ends.
Is your writing place a place in your home where all your books are kind of come together, or do you sort of, like, you know, take a trip and maybe get inspired by something, or is there one central base where you collectively put everything together, or do you find that you have to move around and, you know, do a little writing here, a little writing there?
I have a wonderful home office that I don't ever want to leave. I love it so much.
Mm-hmm.
Really big corner desk surrounded by all my books and reference materials.
Mm-hmm.
I love this space. It is my dedicated office space in our house.
Mm-hmm.
And that is where I do most of my work. I have to take research trips because I do like to have personal experiences with the things I put in my books.
Mm-hmm.
And those trips are exciting. I take notes. I take pictures. and then I'll write it up with all the sensory details.
So in your recent books, how long does it take you to really, from beginning to 2 years, a year? I mean, how long does it take you to currently, like in the last 5 years, how many books did you actually, from beginning to end, how long is it must get quicker and quicker. It must take less time by now, correct?
Yes, definitely. Well, now I put myself on a writing schedule of a minimum of 5 pages a day.
Okay.
So it may take me 4 months, say 4 to 5 months, depending on the length of the book for the actual writing.
Mm-hmm.
That doesn't count the plotting in the beginning or the self-edits at the end.
Tell our listeners some of the titles within the Bad Hair Day series, some of the titles of your books.
Sheer Murder is the latest one. That's where Marla is a bridesmaid at her friend's wedding and finds a dead body under the cake table. That was fun. That's right. That was a lot of fun.
Mm-hmm.
And Killer Knots with a K-N-O-T-S. That's where Marla goes on her first Caribbean cruise and her dinner companions start disappearing one by one.
Mm-hmm.
Perish by Pedicure. That's always a fun one because you do have to be careful when you get foot care.
Mm-hmm.
Dead Roots, we can all relate to that.
Mm-hmm.
That one takes place at a haunted Florida resort that I had a lot of fun making up the ghost stories.
Has anybody approached you over the years to maybe make a film or maybe a TV show or a series on some of your books? Have you ever thought of it yourself, or did anyone approach you with that idea?
We've had one nibble, but that's about it. I mean, I would love interest in this. I think it would make a great TV series.
Mm-hmm.
Like Murder, She Wrote and a Hair Salon.
Absolutely. There was a play, I'm sure it was a Sheer Madness.
Yes. Yeah.
That toured around a long time in the late 90s. Yes, Sheer Madness. That was about a murder in a hairdresser salon.
Right. And it had a different ending whenever you went to see it.
Exactly. And they would go back and repeat the scene live with the actors to go back to, so you could see what you may have missed and so forth. So this book that's coming out, the new one, this is book number 11, is that correct?
Yes, that's correct.
Bad Hair Day Mysteries. That is coming out soon.
In April, that'll be hanging by a hair.
Mm-hmm. Have you always had the same publisher?
No. I've changed a few times.
Okay. Now, we all know it's very difficult. Everybody complains, how do I get published? And they're starting out, and the rejection slips and so forth. How would you compare, now, of course, you're more experienced now, and you know how to do it, and you got the system going, your experience getting published the first time then in the early 90s and someone trying to get published now, what advice or pointers could you let us know the difference of the two situations, and what advice would you give someone trying to get published for the first time now?
Okay. Now we have many more choices than we did back then. It was just the traditional New York publishers, and that's it. Today you have the traditional publishers, you have small press, and you have self-publishing. So you have three
Correct.
Different routes that you can go.
Mm-hmm.
I am with small press at this point. My Driftboard series, which is my paranormal romantic adventure stories, is with the Wild Rose Press.
Right. Okay.
And my mysteries are with Five Star.
Okay.
So you really have to evaluate all the three choices and determine what you want to do.
Mm-hmm.
But I do advise, if you go the self-editing, the self-publishing route, that you hire editors, you hire formatters, you get a good cover design artist, and you do it properly.
Right. Who has been the decision maker on your books? Does it depend on the publisher? Like with your covers, and because of with a romance and mystery novel, I'm sure it's very important what the cover looks like. Has that been your input, or do you listen to them, or that's their call? Who decides what the
it
final?
It depends on the publisher. For my earlier publishers, I had no say in it whatsoever.
Mm-hmm.
For these current publishers, we fill out an art sheet, and we can be as detailed as we want.
Mm-hmm.
So I've been very pleased with the results.
And I know you lecture a lot and you speak a lot. Do you have any programs or classes going on regularly, or when you do your touring, do you ever give seminars on book?
I'm sure you do
on your book, but
sure.
But mostly on your books.
Well, I also give writing workshops.
Oh.
I speak at libraries, conferences, community groups I'll talk to. Yeah, I am available for these speaking engagements, and I've done a lot of them out in the community.
I also like talking to readers. You like to talk to what? To readers?
Readers.
How could someone get in touch with you now? I mean, I have your website and your email. How would you like people to get in touch with you now, to find out where your seminars are and how they can get to, chat with you and learn more, from your talks? What's the best way? Which way would you like them to reach you?
So if you go to nancyjcohen.com, then you'll find all my appearances, all my upcoming releases, fun stuff like recipes, and all my information on my upcoming workshops. Even my online appearances is on my website.
Mm-hmm.
Or people could email me at Nancy@nancyjcohen.com.
Nancy@nancyjcohen.com. By the way, if anyone has a question would like to ask Nancy on our show, remember it's 1-888-565-1470. 1-888-565-1470. So when you, whose material do you read?
I read genre fiction. I like reading science fiction, romance, fantasy, mysteries.
Mm-hmm.
Pretty much the same kind of stories I like to write.
Mm-hmm.
So for mysteries, for example, I'll read humorous mysteries with female amateur sleuths.
Mm-hmm.
I enjoy reading that. And romances, again, I like futuristic and historical romances.
Wow.
And occasionally great science fiction fantasy. I like to escape when I read.
Yeah. And you have no problem getting to that place when the story is coming together, because to have written so many books and all of them very unique, I mean, you really, and you know, you can't duplicate things when you're doing these books. So, you must have an amazing creative mind there. Is there anything you'd like to write about that you haven't, like, other than mystery or romance? Is there anything else you might dabble in the future?
Good question. I would love to be able to write a teen mystery, but I would have no idea how to begin.
A teen,
so
me
I don't
for
know
teen.
That that'll ever happen.
Wait, you mean a teenagers? Like,
yeah.
Like a Nancy Drew kind of thingy,
right.
Nancy Drew, and what was the other, Hardy Boys? Weren't they a mystery?
They were, yeah.
The Hardy Boys. That's right, you know, there are no teen sleuth murder mystery solving.
There probably are out there. I'm just not as
familiar. Popular ones. Not popular. Well, you're the gal. It's your job.
Yeah.
There you go. A new direction.
If I have time, yeah.
So what do you do when you're not writing? And what are the hobbies? Like something totally different. Say, look, I'm not writing today. I'm going to go water skiing or whatever. What are your other hobbies?
Well, other than reading, of course. Outlet shopping. I enjoy going out to eat.
Mm-hmm.
Disney files, so we like going up to Disney World.
Mm.
We go cruising a lot.
Mm-hmm.
What's
your favorite TV shows, for instance? Like, do you watch the mysteries, or there's so many on now?
Well, mysteries, I like Castle and Person of Interest.
Mm-hmm.
And then I watch a lot of science fiction shows are my favorites.
Great.
So I have a whole bunch recorded on my DVR all the time.
Great. Okay. Well, we're talking to Nancy J. Cohen, award-winning romance and mystery writer. And again, if you would like to contact her, it's Nancy J. Cohen. And correct me if I'm wrong. NancyJCohen.com. Correct?
That's correct.
And what is the J for, by the way?
Jane.
Nancy J. Cohen, or go to Amazon.com, and you will see a ton of books listed there. Okay, well, thank you so much. We have to move on and go for a break right now. Oh, is this a call for her? Ah, we have someone who has a question for you. Okay, who am I speaking to?
Hi, my name is Cindy.
Hi, Cindy.
Hi.
You have a question for Nancy?
I do, but you know what? You just sort of asked it. I was going to ask her what TV shows she watches or what TV shows have influenced her, but now I will change it slightly to ask her if there were any childhood influences on her writing. Did she read any series books or anything like that when she was younger that influenced her today?
Most definitely. I read Nancy Drew, of course, which totally stimulated my interest in mysteries. I read Judy Bolton, which was also a mystery series, but a more realistic one because her life evolved and she got married, and I think that's important for characters in a series. And then I read Cherry Ames' books, which inspired me to become a nurse.
Wow.
Okay, well, thank you very much, Nancy.
Thanks.
Okay, thank you, Cindy. Thank you for calling. Thank you for listening. All right, okay, so Nancy, did you want to add anything that you want our listeners to know about? Anything coming up, any seminars?
Any people out there who are interested in writing, there is a workshop coming up on October 12th with Florida Romance Writers. So the links are on my website under links, and they can look that up. There is a lot in the area for aspiring authors.
Yes, well, you sure have been an inspiration to many, many listeners, and it's been wonderful knowing you all these years. We've always kind of been kept in touch with each other. And great. Thank you so much, and we'll have you on again.
Thanks, Kathy. I'd love that. Thank you for having me.
You're very welcome, dear.
All right.
Thank you, Nancy. Jay Cohen, award-winning murder and romance novelist, and we will be back with James Perkowski after this message.
Three words define excellence in entertainment. Standing room only. Those same three words are your ticket to the finest and widest variety of entertainers for your next party or event. Founded and led by the amazing Kathy Rollins, Standing Room Only Productions is a licensed, bonded, and insured full-service entertainment company operating in South Florida since 1982. SRO's lineup of performers is unmatched and ranges from a DJ to an entire orchestra, from an MC to a full ensemble production, and includes specialties such as ventriloquists, magicians, belly dancers. If it's been on stage, SRO has it. They can even produce and direct your show using your group as the talent. Nothing tops a standing room only show. Call Kathy now at 954-791-7555. That's 954-791-7555. Or visit the website at KathySRO.com. That's Kathy with a C, KathySRO.com. Standing Room Only Productions.
Okay, we are back. What a nice lady, Nancy J. Cohen. I really enjoyed speaking with her. And if anyone did not get the website or her contact information, always go to our Facebook page, Radio Showtime Facebook. It's one word, Radio Showtime Facebook, and I will list everything on that, and you'll be able to get in touch with her. I think she's a delightful and very inspiring lady. Well, my next guest is my favorite tenor. He's probably laughing right now at me saying that. And before we speak to him, I'm going to give you just a little sampling of what I think a great tenor is. Take it away.
I have often walked down this street before, but the pavement always stayed beneath my feet before. All at once am I, several stories high, knowing I'm on the street where you live.
Okay, so there's just a little sampling, and I'd like to introduce to you my guest, James Perkowski. James, welcome to Radio Showtime. Hello.
Good evening, Miss Rollins.
Hello, you can call me Kathy. Come on.
Kathy.
So, listen, my dear, we talked about this many times, and finally we got to get it together when you're in town, and we were able to get a Tuesday where you can chat and let everyone know about your wonderful career and your amazing talent. So, you are from, you're very welcome, dear, Connecticut. Is that right? You were born in Connecticut?
Yeah. Yes, I was born in Hartford, Connecticut.
Big family, small family?
Yeah. Just a uh, just two of us and my sister. I have a sister, Lisa, who also sings. She has a lovely voice.
Is she classical, or what kind of music does she do?
You know, she canters a lot. She she does a lot of church singing, and she'll do weddings and funerals and that kind of thing.
Mm-hmm.
She keeps herself busy. I just want to tell you, I appreciate the opportunity to talk to the friends and the fans and the community at large and be able to share some of my story.
Yes.
I appreciate that.
Now, did you always know you wanted to be a vocalist? I mean, or was this something
that... I think my mom figured out that I loved to sing at a very young age and to be on stage. And she threw me in the church choir, and I was a boy soprano for many years. And she had me in area productions at UConn. Actually, was in a show, Gypsy, with Rita McKenzie, who tours around playing Ethel Merman around the world, actually. And I got a chance to visit with her a few years.
Was your mother a singer or a musician? Did you want
She was a singer. She was a singer, and she could play the piano.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. And, I'd say it was a musical household, and I had a lot of very good teachers and training along the way.
Now, your sister is older or younger? Because you said your sister's saying...
She's 11 months younger.
Oh, so very close in age. Okay. So you had the encouragement from a family that understood and appreciated music and made
sure... Yes and no, because I think my parents were a little scared of the whole show business thing, so my mother wanted me to be a priest. And my father wanted me to be a banker, so I've had to disappoint them both.
I think we have a few of those floating around somewhere. I think we have a few who've taken up both those paths.
Yeah,
bad Kathy.
Covered.
Okay. So the classical thing when you started out singing, so you know, so many great singers got started in the choir with great training.
That's true,
isn't it?
It's true. Yeah. So true. And then. My high school years were very good because I was singing every day, and I was in Gilbert and Sullivan musicals, and my mother also took me to community productions, so I had a lot of good experience.
So what was your first experience outside of Connecticut, when you say, look, I'm doing this, and you're in a show, and how did the, because I know you performed in Italy, and you performed in Switzerland, and you performed in Vegas.
Yes. I had a very nice group that I belonged to called the Cabaret Company with Bruce Campion. Hello, Bruce and Valerie Finn, and my best to them. And we toured. We played in Connecticut and New York and Massachusetts, and we did some work down here in Florida. And I love the cabaret atmosphere in that environment.
And on stage, when you are on stage, like, you're wonderful in that not only you have a wonderful voice, but you also have that third eye and knowing how to connect with the audience, and you have that theatrical, and I could see it.
You know, I think that's very important.
Oh,
you know,
gosh.
You've got to be able to convey emotions, and as much as I love to sing, I love to try to make everybody laugh, if it's possible.
Now, during our chat, I've picked out four little songs. I hope you don't mind.
Because
I want our listeners to hear a little, you know, a little smatter. I can't put your CD here. It has like 22, which are all marvelous. But I'm going to have Ken do number 7, and then we'll come back and chat some more with James Prakowski.
Love is a man's splendid thing. It's the April rose that only grows in the early spring. Love is nature's way of giving a reason to be living. A golden crown that makes a man a king.
Too bad we can't play the whole thing because I want them to hear two other things. You performed in Vegas. You opened for the famous jazz.
I had a chance to sing briefly with Toni Braxton. She was very kind to me.
Mm-hmm.
She let me have the stage, and she would joke that she was going to lose her job. It was a very nice experience.
And how did you get to perform for the Pope in Italy? How did that happen?
I went to Catholic University of America in Washington, D.C.,
mm-hmm.
and it was a trip that was organized, and I got a chance to sing for the Pope. And it was a very exciting experience, of course. I did get a chance to sing for all of the living Kennedys in 1985.
Yes.
At Ethel Kennedy's son's funeral there in McLean, Virginia. But everyone was there. That was a very memorable experience, but very sad, too.
I can imagine.
Jackie was there. And
you met Jackie?
I did, very, very briefly.
Wow.
I did, yeah.
And now what happened in Sweden? You did something in Sweden or Switzerland?
I've been able to sing abroad multiple times now. I was in Sweden and Finland, and I've sung in England. I was Jesus and Godspell. There was a tour.
Mm-hmm.
And that was exciting. And also at in London, there's a new theater there. I was able to do some work there too. And I've had a lot of terrific experiences.
So what have you not done? I know you love the theater and you love classical music. What is your favorite? Like, which music you really, because I know you do a lot of popular things and Broadway.
You know,
tunes.
I love opera and I love classical, but it's a very difficult road to hoe. You really have to know all of the languages and you have to travel.
And you do sing beautifully in Italian, because I see from Pagliacci, you've done that show and one of the numbers is on your CD. But how many languages do you sing in? You certainly sing in Italian.
Well, with a little refresher, get through some of them. Most of them, I don't speak it, but
okay.
I guess Italian is probably my strongest. But
and we're going to play.
You know, I love the Broadway stuff. It's tough because and I love the standards and I love doing some jazz. I guess my problem is I want to do it all.
Do you play an instrument? Do you play piano or do you?
No, tambourine.
Okay, we're going to play number 15. There's a little Some Enchanted Evening.
Some enchanted evening, you may see a stranger. You may see a stranger across a crowded room. And somehow you'll know even then, that somewhere you'll see her again and again.
So beautiful, so beautiful. So I know you're doing a big, you are doing a big job for me on Thursday. And anything you're doing coming up for you that the general public could know about or go see? Do you have anything coming up?
Actually, in the short term, I'm going to be performing with the American Legion 9th District Symphonic Band at Young Circle in Hollywood.
When?
That's September 11th. It's a September 11th Memorial Concert at 7 o'clock.
Okay.
Young Circle in Hollywood.
Mm-hmm.
And then I'm also looking forward to performing with the Hallandale Pops, Peter Fuchs.
So wonderful.
Yeah, in January 7th, the Sport of mm-hmm. Kings Auditorium at Gulfstream.
Now, if people,
that's my new kick.
If people want
to perform with orchestras. Excuse me.
I'm sorry, what was the third one? I spoke too soon. What was that?
Well, that's the Sport of Kings Auditorium at Gulfstream on January 7th with the Hallandale Pops.
Amazing. Great. Now, if somebody wants to get a copy of this wonderful CD, my dear, how do you suggest they go about getting that?
Well, I can be reached through Standing Room Only Productions, of course, if that's okay with you.
Absolutely.
Or they can reach me at my email address, which is jpptenor, T-E-N-O-R, at msn.com. And I also have a new DVD out. I performed with the Sunrise Pops. I was their guest artist this past March.
Oh.
And I'm very proud of that. I was able to have my orchestrations done by Peter Graves, who's wonderful.
Oh, he is wonderful. Is anything on YouTube? Do you have any clips or something on YouTube?
Yeah. I can. You can Google me. It's James Perkowski Tenor, and you can see me do the Pagliacci, the Vestibugiuba with the Pride Orchestra. I did that at the Broward Center a couple years back.
You are so good.
I think there's a few other things on there too.
And I even got you to do a murder mystery.
That was a lot of fun. Thank you.
Your theatrical, you know, flair came out. You know, you fit right in. You did an amazing job. This is one of the most beautiful songs, and you do it so beautifully. Before we say goodbye, we'll come back after this, but I want everyone to hear this, a little bit of Music of the Night by James Prakowski.
Nighttime sharpens, heightens each sensation. Darkness wakes and stirs imagination. Silently the senses abandon their defenses. Slowly, gently, night unfurls its splendor. Grasp it, sense it, tremulous and tender. Turn your face away from the garish light of day.
So beautiful. And oh, isn't it wonderful? And of course, when you do, I couldn't play because we'd all be crying as Bring 'Em Home. That you do that magnificently. But the four numbers that we played parts of today are part of the CD that you have called James Prakowski to Broadway and Beyond. And there are 22 numbers on that. And you do a really wonderful, wonderful job. So what have you not done, my dear, that you would like to do?
You know, to be completely honest with you, I'd love to be a backup singer for Bette Midler or Barbara Streisand or, let's see, who else? Johnny Mathis is touring around still.
Mm-hmm.
Michael Feinstein.
I met his parents one. I don't know if they're there. They used to live in Delray or something.
Michael Feinstein, I got a chance to meet him. He was at the Hard Rock in Hollywood.
Really?
And I bought his book and was able to tell him the big fan that I am of his and all of his material that I steal, I mean borrow.
Well, you are wonderful. You are wonderful. Okay, ladies and gentlemen, we're speaking to James Prakowski, wonderful, talented tenor, and we hope we'll have you on again. And go on my our listeners could go to the Radio Showtime Facebook page. I will put your information on there this evening when I go back to my office. And if they would like to know how to those dates that you mentioned where they can come and see you, trust me, he is a wonderful, amazing, and I can't see you as a backup singer for anyone. I would not allow that. You're wonderful. Thank you so much, James.
Let me just shout out to my Connecticut crowd,
yes.
Bob and Marge and Karen and Ray and Joan and Elizabeth, if you're listening, and thank you to all of my supportive fans and friends and family. I love them all.
Oh, you're a wonderful person. You're a very, very charming and very sweet and very kind, thoughtful person, and I can understand why you have so many wonderful friends.
Thank you so much.
You're welcome, dear. Yeah. Talk to you soon.
Okay.
Bye-bye. Yeah. James Prakowski, what a wonderful talent. He's so wonderful. It's just a wonderful gift, you know, and when people nurture it and get the right training and just bring it to a point like that, it's just amazing. I do want to let you know what we have coming up in the weeks to come. I'm not going to give you the dates, but we have some really amazing guests. We have Larry Greenberg. Now, he actually is on next week. He's called the Hysterical Hypnosis Stage Comedy Show. He's totally knowledgeable about hypnosis, the stage hypnosis and hypnosis, which I call. He's a guest next week. Also, we're going to talk to Louis Terrell. He is artistic director at the theater at the Arts Garage. And if you have not been there, you have to go. I saw an amazing production of Beyond the Rainbow a couple of weeks ago. It was the closing night. But Louis Terrell is the artistic director for the theater portion of Arch Theater. It's a unique, beautiful place there right on Swinton Boulevard. If you take Atlantic to Atlantic Avenue to Swinton, and you make a left, one left and one right. You're right there at the Arts Garage. It's a wonderful theater, and they also, I understand, have jazz on the weekend. So look them up and find out what's coming up. We have Alan Gerstel. He's going to be actually here in the studio. We hope we can, on the date, we hope you're here in 2 weeks. He's written a book called Swing, In Search of My Father, who happens to have been Louis Prima. So that's Alan Gerstel. He's going to be with us in a couple of weeks. David Orson, a wonderful Broadway and classical vocalist. Paul Levine, a famous faces. Frank Carmelitano, who's an amazing classical and jazz guitarist. And David Mulemans, and many, many more. And we're working on a few other things. I wanted to share something really funny with you. You know, there are performers and there are performers, and some performers can handle the crowd. And if something, like Todd was saying, that happens and that's not planned, and you have to know how to go with it. But I came across the CD of one of my favorite singers losing it on stage. This is Dean Martin. I love Dean Martin. I wish I would have been able to meet Dean Martin. I know that Dean Martin was really Dino Crosetti, and he was from Steubenville, Ohio. He was born on June 7th, and I don't know the year. I certainly could find that out, but I think he passed away like on Christmas Day. But there's a wonderful CD I have, and it's called The Rat Pack, and he's singing the song I Left My Heart in San Francisco. And shortly into the song, he's singing it, and there's a lady just enthralled about him, and she's kind of heckling him, and he actually loses it. And I just think it's so funny. I have to share it with you, because we all love Dean Martin, and his music's so beautiful, but we never anticipate what would happen if something really ticked him off. So take it away, Dean Martin.
I left my heart in San Francisco, high on a hill. It calls to me to beware little cable cars. Climb halfway to the stars. The morning fog may chill the air. I don't care. My love waits there. In San Francisco, above the blue, and windy sea, when I come home to you, San Francisco, your golden sun will shine for me. My love waits there in San Francisco.
Oh, shut your goddamn
above the blue.
There was more. There was more after that, because he tells the lady, you know, if that was Frank Sinatra did that too, you'd be escorted out of this. But he said very funny, but we never really hear entertainers lose it. Anyway, I wanted to let you know that we are going to have a show coming up at Nick's in Fort Lauderdale, the Carlucci Cohen Comedy Wedding. The date is Sunday, October 13th at 1 o'clock. That is the day before the Columbus Day holiday, and we sort of do that in honor of Columbus Day being Italian, of course. Well, we think he's Italian. You know, there's been some discrepancies about that, but we just say this is in honor of, because it's a Jewish-Italian comedy wedding, so this is in honor of Columbus Day and his Jewish attorney. So the tickets are $40 for the dinner and the show. It's a lot of fun. It's a lot of fun, and of course, Nick's food is wonderful. They have a wonderful menu, and if you're interested in, I know they're going to sell out. If you're interested in tickets, call 954-791-7555, 954-791-7555. And again, that's the Carlucci Cohen Comedy Wedding on Sunday, October 13th at 1 o'clock at Nick's Italian Restaurant. And Nick's is on A1A, just north of Oakland Park Boulevard and south of Commercial Boulevard, and we'd love you to put that on your list. Again, 954-791-7555. Again, our number here at WNN is 1-888-565-1470, 1-888-565-1470, or go to Kathy SRO, Kathy with a C, KathySRO.com, and click on Radio Showtime. We have a Facebook page, just one word, Radio Showtime, and everything we talk about on the show is listed there. So if you would like to know more about Nancy J. Cohen's books or James Perkowski's music, just go on there and I will list that. We have, again, wonderful guests coming up. If there's something you would like to have on our show or just hear about or anything that's in the entertainment line, we'd be very happy to arrange it. We're working on a few major celebrity interviews coming up, and well, we're going to, when we know it's a definite, then we're going to let you know. You do know that if you go online and listen to our show, you can be heard all around the world. Like right now, I have a friend in Madrid, Spain, and his name is Dan Lowell, and he's publisher of a wonderful paper there called The Guidepost. It started out being the first English publication. Now, there are many English publications in Madrid, and we have a gentleman in Seattle by the name of Mike Wessner, and I know he's listening, and a friend of mine that I recently was in New York, and we gathered a few friends in New York and walked around the city there. And after that meeting, we all went to our corners of the world. And right now, he's listening to us from Thailand. Like, you remember the movie, Robin Williams, Good Morning Vietnam. Well, good morning, Joe. Good morning, Joe, in Thailand. Because right now, folks, it's 6 a.m. Wednesday morning. So as Louis Prima tangles us out of here, tune in next week to Radio Showtime at 7 o'clock on WWNN 1470, and we'll talk to you then. Have a good week. Bye-bye.
With that old moon above the Mediterranean Sea, in the morning, Senorina, Buonasera, Senorina, kiss me goodnight. Buonasera, Senorina, kiss me goodnight, but we'll let do that to the pot, bona body boat, but do the bottle boat, bona seda.
You've been listening to Radio Showtime with producer, director, actress, and talent agent Kathy Rollins. To find out more about Kathy and Standing Room Only Productions, go to KathySRO.com or call 954-791-7555. That's KathySRO.com. The curtain will rise again next Tuesday evening at 7.
The opinions expressed on the preceding sponsored program were strictly those of its hosts, guests, and callers, and not necessarily those of the station, its staff, management, or sponsors.